coming here every day. Do you believe in it? The fellowship you come from, the fellowship of the brethren. Do you really believe in the power of the fellowship? The things you say about God, do you know them? Do you believe them? You have used the name of Jesus all your life. Do you really believe in the name of Jesus? Can you call on the name of Jesus and then shut down every plan B because you believe? Because the Bible said, thou believest that there's only one God. He said, thou doest well. However, I said, even the devil believes and he trembles. His own believing is deeper. It has a deeper dimension than your own believing. He said he doesn't just believe. He said he believes to the point where he trembles. He said, but what substantiates your belief? What gives difference to your own kind of belief is that your belief is backed up with corresponding action. You call on the name of Jesus. Have you called on the name of Jesus on any circumstance and you shut down every plan B? Or you are calling it so that it will be recorded that you also called upon it? Or you are still calling it to find out whether it will work or not? When you go to pray, do you really have peace? And because you have prayed, you shut down and leave it for God. You see, we don't come to a point where we tell ourselves the truth. That's why we are still embarking on all kinds of religion. Somebody goes to a man of God, he prays for him. He rushes to another one, he prays. He rushes to another one, he prays. He said, but they that believe will not make haste. The cure is simple. The cure is one. What will make your prayer make sense? What will make your understanding of the world make sense? What will make every activity you carry out in the body of Christ make sense? Is captured in one context. It's called alignment. It is in alignment that the Holy Ghost takes over as the teacher of your life. Because the journey of alignment begins when you submit your will to the will of God. The journey of alignment is the greatest risk anybody takes in time. It is called walking on the water. It is a point where you excuse your intelligence, your cerebral abilities. It's a point where you excuse your connections and everything you have. It's a point where you excuse all the chances and the advantages you have. And you say, let that will be done. It is in alignment that we are trained. The syllables of the Spirit, they are captured within the context of alignment. If you have not come to that point where you journey through the path of alignment, you will be a talker and you will talk a lot of things. You will even inspire people. But mind you, that you are talking and people are falling does not mean anything is happening. Because I know men in the world who don't even talk, but people are slain. I know of Michael Jackson. He comes to an auditorium and people are slain in their hundreds. Because when an overwhelming expectation collides all of a sudden with manifestation, your senses crack. That you are talking and people are screaming does not mean you have gotten there. Because the man that enters and journeys into God and apprehends him, he knows. I was sharing with them in Zaria last week. I said, we talk about atmosphere so much that atmosphere has even become more important than the Holy Spirit. Meanwhile, I saw Moses stood before 3 million people and they were hurling insults at him. And there was no atmosphere that suggested the move of the Spirit. But Moses looked up to heaven. And God said, go forward. And he stretched forth his rod and the sea parted. Miracles happening when the atmosphere does not even permit. Because he knows. He knows something you don't know. I saw Elijah stood before a king that threatened his very existence. Do you know what it means to stand before Buhari now and tell him that unless by my word it will not rain because of your evil? And tell him that you can't journey out of this land because of your evil. And it doesn't happen until Buhari locates you. Do you know where Buhari found him? Ahab found him in Horeb, the Mount of God. That was not in the city. A king, they will say, somebody made a proclamation in Makurdi, and Buhari will journey for Abuja looking for you. It doesn't matter if you are in Jatoka. He will go there to find you because he knows the keys of heaven is in your hand. You say, it shall not rain. There shall be no rain or dew except by my word. That is not utterance that is categorized as speech power. That is a man locking heaven by words. It's not deriving so much pleasure with oratorial dexterity. It's somebody talking and the elements of creation obeying by power. We don't believe what we say. And that's because the protocol of alignment is not complete. I also discovered that it doesn't matter who lays hands on you. It will remain in your heart as a seed that will never manifest. You can pride yourself in talking it. And this one I'm telling you, I am a first-hand example of it. It dawned on me, it's not about laying on of hands. You have to fan to flame. You have to align or see the seed begins to germinate, because alignment brings you under the atmosphere of glory where the realities of God are given expression. If I tell you the people that have imparted me, you'll be amazed. If it's by impartation, I won't be here. I would have been touring the whole nations because Benihim has imparted me one-on-one. Pastor Chris Oyakhilome have imparted me. Dr. Paul Enenche have anointed me. Bishop Oedeko have imparted me. Randy Clark have imparted me. Todd White have imparted me. It's not about impartation. It's the extent to which you submit yourself for that which is put in you to grow. We have journeyed to places, slept on crusade ground to motivate our ego. We come back and tell people, I've been here. And at the end of the day, we even take the glory in mundane things. Because we want to tell people, I also slept on the crusade ground, so that you know our passion, you know our zeal for Jesus. And it ends there. When you come to understanding, you will know the things that matter. Your orientation will be in one direction, the Holy Ghost. You become most disadvantaged when you take pride in spiritual things. Because spiritual things are expected to remove everything that is self from you, so that everything that is God will be imparted. But we are blocked out of spiritual realities because of our pride. I'm the man of prayer. I'm the fasting machine. You say, holy men of God spake as they were carried. They understood it experientially. So it doesn't matter even if death was standing face to face. Can you ask Jesus to help you tonight? Because we need help. I tell you the truth. We need help. We need help. We need help. We are a generation that need help. Death has never been seen as bogus the way it has seen in our generation. We need help. Pride, arrogance. When we have not seen anything, we have not even. And you ask Jesus to help you. We are so proud that we come for meeting and we decide what should happen. And as far as that thing doesn't happen, it doesn't matter what God is saying. We write it off. We need help. Thank you, Father. Thank you, precious Jesus. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Let's look at scriptures for a few minutes. A few minutes. Glory to God. Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. You can sit down. Just allow yourself to be anointed. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper,
deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I love to be deeper in love. Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper, deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I love
to be deeper in love.
You see, God created the man, and he put the man in creation. And he said, let the man have dominion. Why does the man need dominion? Because part of the blessings that God gave to the man was for him to have authority and rulership over every other creation. Why then does this man still need dominion? I began to wonder. Then it dawned on me that the realities that were captured within the sphere of Eden were not found in the outer part of Eden. And God had every of us in mind when he began creation. And there was no way all of us could be in Eden. So the man needed to expand all of the realities that were in Eden, the glories of Eden, to every other aspect or every other part of the earth realm. And he said, have dominion. Now, at this point, Satan was not yet in charge of the operation of the earth realm. The earth was not yet cracked. Man was not yet falling. And man needed authority, power, dominion, in order to bet the things that God had in his heart. And then, as time progressed, the man decided to yield to Satan. And Satan came into the world and destroyed the protocol of creation and became the god of the system. Now, between that time and now, when does man need more dominion? When the earth was not yet falling, man was not yet falling, God said, have dominion. Between that time, comparing that time with now, that earth is already cracked. Earth is already under the authority of the devil. When do you think man needs more dominion? If you look upon this question, you will discover that there is nothing we need now as much as dominion. Because everything that is within the visible creation is fighting our existence. Everything, including the mosquito house, compound that you swept and kept, suddenly as begins to grow. Everything tries to choke out of it. So in order to succeed in this realm, I'm going to be very calm this evening so that I can leave you with some tangible points that you go home with to practice. I've discovered over time that we say a lot of things under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and people don't even understand. Thank you. You may be seated. God bless you. People don't even understand half of what we are saying. And most times, because they are very, very inspiring and novel statements, their emotion is hijacked in the process. They are slain. They are shouting, screaming everywhere. But at the end of the day, when you check back after many months, there have not been any tangible change. So especially when I'm in the house, I decide to show a few principles so that we can practice. I'm also practicing them. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, as a man the countenance of his friend. Apostle told us, he said, practice is superior to learning. And until you practice a reality, you don't know it. Because when you practice it, conviction is furnished. And when conviction is furnished, you can see manifestation. Are we together? So I'll be very calm to explain a few precepts. You see, man is in need of dominion. And redemption does not automatically give man dominion. Redemption restored man to the position he was falling from and gives him access to everything he had access to before he was falling. So after you are redeemed, it becomes your responsibility to take advantage of everything you have been given in God in order to exercise dominion. But the unfortunate thing is this. Before man was falling, he had access to the spirit realm. You see, the Bible said God told Adam to name all the animals, and the names that Adam gave to the animals were the names that were. So even without consulting with God, Adam had right and access into the archives of the spirit to find out the things that were there before the foundations of the world. So he picked from them and said the exact things God would have said if he was the one. That is because his soul was not falling. But the unfortunate thing now is that all we have for dominion, all we have for the exercise of dominion is locked up in the spirit. And your soul is now falling. And redemption did nothing about your soul. Just as it did nothing about your body. Everything redemption took care of was in your spirit. God now left you the resources to develop your soul and to plug into him. That is the summary of faith. Your ability to take advantage of the things that are provided for you to hijack the falling soul to a level where it can operate at the frequency of the spirit. So you are different from Adam. Because Adam's soul had direct access to the spirit, your own soul is separated from the spirit. So there are a lot of integers you must put in place in order to take advantage of all that you have, which is now unfortunately locked up in the spirit. The scriptures give us a picture of what should be, so that by then we will have a different kind of syllabus and a different kind of training to give us a new orientation as to what our reality should be. Because without the scriptures, it is possible for you to begin to judge yourself based on circumstantial manifestations. So the scriptures gives you understanding of the things that should be. And beyond that, it also gives you the strategies on how to take advantage of what you have with God to change existential realities to conform with what God has written concerning you. So every time you engage the spirit, it is a very conscious act with a targeted objective of recalibrating everything that is captured within the sphere of the fallen creation to align back with that which God wrote concerning you before the world was falling. And that is why your walk in the spirit is not a religious activity. It's not a soulish activity. It is a tangible reality you must apprehend in order to alter the negative protocol of operations that are around your life. But if you don't consciously engage these things, you may come to a point where you will do what others are doing and you will not have the results of the Bible. And you will keep consoling yourself and motivating yourself, thinking you are being humble before God, whereas that is not the plan of God for you. In fact, if you are not even sufficiently educated by the Holy Ghost through the scriptures, you may think where you are is the best of God for you. Meanwhile, you are far below what God expects of you. And a lot of persons may not see this until they show up in heaven. Then God begins to show them, well, this is the city and the city you were supposed to take over. These are the dead men you were supposed to raise. But since you couldn't, I now decided to send Reverend George. Because you couldn't summon enough faith. May God help me not to see that in heaven. Hallelujah. Because the moment the creation was falling, the devil became the architect of creation. So what the circumstance reveal to you are contrary to your reality. What the institutions of the world reveal to you, they are contrary to your reality. You can just wake up the next thing, you see hospitals everywhere, you see doctors walking very modestly with comportment, with gallantry, and then they tell you, yeah, they are the ones that handle sick people. And the hospitals are where they take sick people to. Yeah, cover yourself because mosquito will give you malaria. You, these things bombard you until, by the time you are growing up, it's natural for you to think that we are supposed to fall sick from time to time. And then suddenly you open the scripture and you say, let no one in Zion say I'm sick. Now the question is it that those in Zion should lie or try to refuse reality? Or is it that what they are saying in Zion is just for talking sake? Because you can hear it and then pick it and begin to talk it because you think it's for talking. Meanwhile, the scripture is trying to give you another educational system of what should be. Because God is aware that every other thing around you will orient you negatively. And if you follow that kind of educational system, you will depart from your reality until a point comes where you are a direct opposite of everything that you should be. Hallelujah. They tell you, well, there are demons everywhere, and you see, our fathers, they did it like this. If you don't do it like this, you will die. And even if you don't die, it will affect your children and your children's children. So even when the guy gives his heart to Christ, when it comes to village things, he say, no, this thing we have to, you know, if you don't do it like this, there's a challenge. We have to do it like this. Because he has been educated by another syllabus. So the Holy Scriptures were given to reorient your mind, so that your journey in the spirit can begin from there. But the unfortunate thing is that everything the scriptures is revealing to you, you don't have it the way it is saying it until yourself is brought into the realm from where the scriptures were crystallized. Because what the scripture is showing you is a reality that is hooked up in another realm. So when you see it, there's supposed to be a hunger on your inside to journey into that realm where these realities are domesticated. So that when you apprehend it, you now have the authority to enact it on earth. And that's why the Bible said in Romans chapter 15 verse 4, it said the things that were written aforetime, it said they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11, he said, what happened to them as an example. And it is written for our exhortation. The word is admonition, but it is exhortizo. It is written for your exhortation. It is written to inspire you into that same reality. So it's written unto us for our admonition, unto whom the end of the world is come. So everything that was written and everything that happened to the people in the time of old is to reveal to you that these possibilities are available. So, it's not enough for you to begin to say the things they said by the Holy Spirit. You must have to find out how they said what they said. And you will do what they do to get into where they were to say what they said before you can have what they have. But the unfortunate thing, we take what they say, we run with it, we say it, and we don't have result. And because we don't know that we are actually being on the disadvantaged side, we think we are pleasing God by staying there in a humble fashion. So you see us begin to give negative interpretation to what alignment is. And some people now think alignment is suffering. God buffeting you until you are a nobody. Hallelujah. You can carry the whole scriptures and quote it. But these guys who were saying these things, they were saying it because they were carried into a place. And they spoke from there. So he said what happened to them was an example. So what you do as a student in the school of the spirit is to find out, when these guys pray, how did they pray? And when they pray, what is their focus? What is their motivation? And when they are done praying, what is their result? So if prayer is what the Holy Ghost is furnishing in your heart, you check the scriptures to find out how the expedition of prayer was carried out. What was done in the time of prayer and the results that they apprehended after praying. So when you begin your own praying, your goal now becomes different. But because we are not sufficiently educated, when people pray, that is when you see the highest manifestation of carnality. Because it's possible for the brother who was in the prayer meeting and not praying to carry the mic and all of a sudden become a trumpet. It is possible for the brother who somebody else was praying and he sat down crossing his leg to carry the mic and be jumping up and down. So he doesn't understand that even while he was sitting, his objective was not different from when he was carrying the microphone. Because if he was not journeying when he was sitting, he would not suddenly start journeying when he's standing. His objectives are different. You see why we do a lot of activities, but there are no results. Because we don't travel anywhere. A brother comes to tell you, yeah, he's going for a retreat. He's going for a retreat. It has told everybody in the world. Meanwhile, there's no energy in his spirit for that retreat. That retreat, he went for, he slept throughout and came back. Instead of asking God, help me, I need a retreat. He's going telling everybody, I'm going for a retreat. Our orientations are distorted. If I know I have a retreat and then there's no burden in my heart for retreat, I'll begin to plead with the Lord, help me, help me. I need to pray now. I know something is coming. I know you are stirring prayer in my spirit, but there's no energy. That's what Apostle told us. He said, when they pray, they say, quicken us, O God, that we might call upon your name. Because to them, praying is to hook up to God. So the brother is in the room, he prays, and then suddenly every other person is on land. He is in cloud nine. So as he comes out from the place of prayer, his disposition changes. Everything about him changes. Because when he went to the place of prayer, he was in the realm of glory. Meanwhile, this man that prayed came out and nothing was altered in the earth realm. This man that prayed came out and nothing was changed around the circumstances he was interceding for. They didn't pray like that. How did they pray in the Bible? You will check it. And then you begin to practice. The moment these things become real to you, you will begin to notice steady progress with God. So when you come for a prayer meeting and they are praying, you will focus on Jesus. You will focus on the Holy Spirit. And then suddenly you begin to find grace apprehend you. People pray for 6 months, but they don't still tap into the grace of prayer. That means all the activities you were doing was in the flesh. Because if you press into God, a time comes when he lifts you up. If you press into God, a time comes when he begins to carry you from place to place. John said, I was in the spirit on the last day. And then the first thing that happened is that he heard a voice. And as he turned, God brought him into another phase of his ordination. He began to see mysteries. And Jesus began to teach him mysteries. And he was at that level, still focused, walking with Jesus. And then another voice came. A door opened in heaven. He said, come up hither. This time around, he was not seen again. He was carried into it. He was moving from place to place in God. But we do our own, and then we move from place to place in man. When we come to a gathering like this, the Bible said, behold, how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. It's like the oil dripping from the head of Aaron down to, through his beard, onto his skirt. He said, it's like the dew upon Mount Hermon. He said, there, the Lord commanded his blessings. If you know that a gathering like this is a place where the blessing of God is domiciled, even your heart posture will change. You wonder why people will leave their house every day from Monday to Wednesday and they come to prayer meeting and that's when they are gisting. They come to prayer meeting, that's when they are sleeping. Then why not sleep at home? That you leave your house every day for 2 months and come to a place like this and nothing changed, you should weep. What is happening? That means time has no value to you in the first place. You come to a prayer meeting for 3 months and nothing has shifted. The lost you were battling with, you are still battling with them. The weaknesses are still there. And there is no proof that a layer of grace has been imparted unto you. And then you, we are men of prayer. We are people of prayer. We are a community of prayer. You sing it everywhere. No, where we go is prayer. No, it's prayer. We prayer. Become a trumpet of prayer. But what is the goal of prayer? What is the objective of the gathering? Do you even know it? Have you sensed it before? Have you touched the burden You see people praying as if they want to die. Sometimes I see people like Reverend George here, when they are done praying, their clothes is wet up to their trousers, and I say, Jesus, where did this energy come from? Or when we carry back here, the whole building is, I say, what kind of grace is this? He looks at me and say, I'm pastor. Sometimes I come, when they are going home, I will squeeze money, put in his hand and run away. I say, I connect. I can't imagine. How did he tap into such dimensions of prayer? And I was here before him. It's a conscious thing. It's a conscious thing. What you plug to, you enter. We were in Lagos with Benny Hinn, and he said, if a man enters into the realm, he said the realm comes out with him. See, you don't need to act it. See, if you enter into the realm, the realm will attach itself to you. The Bible said Moses wist not that his face shone like the sun. You see, Moses doesn't need to come and tell you, I've been praying for 40 days. He doesn't need to come out and make you feel as if, this prayer this time has affected him, this prayer, the body. As he was coming, his face was glowing. The things he was uttering is a proof that he ascended from the earth realm. It was that same mountain where Moses went to pray that he looked into the foundation of the world. He began to tell us things that happened when no man was on the face of the earth. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How can a man talk like that? Where were you in the beginning? Where was God standing? He journeyed through the portals of prayer and he entered a place where no human being had been given access before him by prayer. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and without form, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. A man giving a narrative of the things that happened when only the divine was present by prayer. It was from that mountain that Moses descended from. And he said, let Reuben live. It doesn't matter. The man that caused Reuben was a patriarch. This is a man that speaks and heaven obeys it. I told them, Jacob placed his hand upon Manasseh and Ephraim and he said, let the name of Israel be named upon you. Instantly, Manasseh and Ephraim became part of the 12 tribes of Israel. He didn't give birth. He said, let the name of Israel be named upon you. Heaven recognized it. If you study the movement of the tabernacle in the wilderness, Manasseh and Ephraim are part of the 12 tribes. And he looked at Reuben. He said, you stagger like the waters. He said, you are the excellency of my strength, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of wisdom. He said, but you went upon my bed with my concubine, and for that you shall not prosper. And the curse that he placed upon him, when he was talking to Judah, he said, these things he's saying will last until Shiloh comes. But another man journeyed through the portal of prayer, and as he shut down, he said, let Reuben live. Let Reuben live. And it was established. It was Moses that descended from the mountain. He said, if you are on the Lord's side, come this way. The Levites came and he said, from today, these ones are no longer part of Israel. They have been separated unto the Lord. They became the tribe of God. By prayer. That was not part of his itinerary when he went to pray. It was not part of his objective. But when he journeyed in prayer, a point came where he could touch heaven from it. It was Moses that told God, he said, repent of these things. He said, how can the God of Israel do this kind of evil? He said, you want the Egyptians to now go and tell the nations that you delivered them from Egypt. This is a man giving counsel to God. How do men grow and become so mighty? The Bible said Moses went to the mountain. He fasted for 40 days, came back with the covenant. And then he broke it out of anger. He fell on his face and he was there for 40 days praying again. That's 80 days. When he's praying, where he's going to, that's not where you are going. Because when he prays, he travels out of his body. You will die if you don't drink water for 40 days. Am I correct? Where are my doctors? You will die. And then he got up from there immediately and he went back to the mountain and stayed for another 40 days. It's not this prayer we are praying here and there. When somebody pray for 30 minutes and he has not taken a new prayer point. You know, when the new prayer point comes, there's a way it helps you to recalibrate. So when we pray, we look at time. We try to strengthen our will. Yeah, you know, that time the Lord helped me. I prayed every day for 5 hours for 3 months. Yeah, I'm hoping that by next month I will still... Let me journey. All he's done is in his soul. When he comes out, he has imagination that he is raising the dead. And then he walks like a man who is raising the dead. Moses was not like that. He said, I saw upon the mountain the Lord descending with 10,000 of his saints. He said, from Mount Paran. It was the same thing that Enoch said many generations before him. He journeyed to where Enoch stood and he saw what Enoch saw. If you journey in prayer, you will stand where Elijah stood. I heard Andrew Womack, in the place of prayer and meditation, he saw the battle between David and Goliath. I've heard strange things. People like Peter Tan wants to go for a meeting. He said he will see Jesus before he goes there. You know, Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin 7 times. That is a reality in his dispensation. A dispensation is coming where people will literally journey consciously into the spirit to find him because they have known the way. They have known the way. They know how to travel. Peter Tan wants to go for a meeting and he will consciously break into the spirit realm and see Jesus. He's still alive. By prayer. If you have the right information, you have the right motivation. If you have the right motivation, you have the right approach. If you have the right approach, you have the right results. Prayer. We trivialize hallowed things. We trivialize things that have immortal essence and meaning. The reason God takes us through a tight corner sometimes is so that we come to a point where we are relieved of every other thing our confidence is hinged on. You know, sometimes you think you are praying until you come into a circumstance where there is no way out. For the first time, you will cry from your spirit. Then you will realize that every other thing you were doing was a show in the flesh. You come to that point where you throw your hand here, there's nothing to hold. You throw your hand here, nothing to hold. Then for the first time, if you speak in tongues, you will hear what tongue is. Because you will cry from your spirit. You have come to a point where if God doesn't answer, you are mad forever. What God has to teach you by alignment is to come to a point where every time you lift your voice in prayer, you will pray like that. That is the kind of life Jesus had. And he could stand in front of the tomb and he said, I thank you, Father, that you always hear me. You are not trying to verify. I thank you, Father, that you always hear me. If there is no prayer, if you like, quote 1,000 scriptures, nothing will happen. Because prayer takes you into the atmosphere of creation. The Bible said, the Spirit of God hovered upon the waters. There was chaos. God didn't start talking. He hovered. He enveloped the whole chaos into him until he submerged darkness in eternity. And then he called forth light. There are principles of scriptures. But sometimes we are not well instructed. So we want to do it the way we feel we should do it, or the way we feel like. These things are not done the way you feel like. They are done the way of scriptures, the way that has been prescribed. They are ancient landmarks. You don't move them. They don't shift. We pride in the wrong things. We do the best of things, but we don't have the results because we pride in the wrong things. Prayer is the first proof that a man have entered into the training of alignment. Because he comes to a point where only God is who he can call upon his name. If you are a man who your first alternative and many other alternatives are outside of prayer, then you have not entered the path of alignment. Jesus had many alternatives as the Son of God, many. But when he went to John the Baptist, he said, suffer it to be so for now. He said, thus it becometh of us to fulfill all righteousness. Apostle said, you are not called to be creative in these matters. It is written, you follow it. He said, and I come in the volume of the books. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. That's a man in alignment. Every day, the Bible says, early in the morning, Jesus went into the mountain to pray. And then the disciples will come and say, the moment they come, he say, let's go. And then they go to town and he rebukes the blind. He rebukes the deaf. And things are happening. They think it's about rebuking. Hope you know when you are a young Christian, you like to cast out demons. Get out! The day you say get out and you hear power, then you will know that no. This thing is not in the intensity of your command. It is a life that is transmitted in your utterance. You see, Jesus said, when I speak to you, I'm not talking to educate you. You may be educated in the process. He said, but the words I speak to you, they are spirit, they are life. Because the words come from the spirit. It comes from the spirit. He said, they are spirit, they are life. So when you journey in prayer, you have one destination, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. When Jesus was done praying, the Bible said he went in the power of the Spirit. In the power. The word of God is power. But what he came to do on earth was only going to be done by the Spirit. Because, okay, we were in school of nursing last week, and Apostle told us, he said everything done outside of the Spirit is corruption. It has one destination, corruption. So Jesus knew that everything he must do must be by the Spirit. Even his death, the Bible said he gave up himself in the Holy Ghost. He died by the Spirit. He offered a blameless sacrifice by the Spirit. He spoke by the Spirit. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 2, when Luke was writing, he said he was writing to excellent Theophilus of all that Jesus both began to do and to say. And he said, when he was about to be lifted, he gave commandment to the apostles through the Holy Ghost. Even the commandments he gave through the Holy Ghost. So if Jesus tells you, brother, lock that door, he's telling you through the Holy Ghost. And that's why when you go to lock that door, you will find grace. Because he's not instructing you by understanding. He's instructing you by the Spirit. He said, Ogbe, go to Boko. He's speaking through the Spirit. So if you go to Boko, suddenly you will see a blind man and the eyes will open. And then you will run back and say, all the devils were casted out by our words. He will laugh. Say, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. This thing I'm telling you, I spoke from a realm. I saw Satan fall like lightning. The reason you were casting out demons was because what I was telling you and the instruction I gave you, the commandment I gave you through the Spirit. So the Spirit went with it. We know a lot of things. So we are separated from the realm. And that's why the focus, the goal, and the objective of everything we do is corruption. The most spiritual assignment, people do it in the flesh. But in those days, you can't even come to the apostolic community and lie. Because by the Spirit, you will die. A man wants to lead prayer. He goes and kneels down and pray first. So that he will be helped. You know, when you are trained in the Spirit, he trains your soul. So your soul has the capacity to do it without the Spirit. And he consciously trains your soul so that you will use your will to choose him. When you study the Scripture, your mind will remember the Scripture. But every time you go to minister, you pray for utterance. Even the sequence of revelation, you trust him for it. That is worship. That is alignment. Even though you know it in your head, you trust him to bring it to you. It's a training process that makes a spiritual man out of you. And a spiritual man is not a man with all kinds of garbages and disposition. A spiritual man is a man that is like Jesus. And it is only one way you can be like Jesus, is by the Holy Ghost. So prayer becomes a reality we cannot do without. That's why we pray every day. But if you are not careful, it becomes a religious activity. You know that 4 p.m. every day, even if you pull your sandal and keep at home, the sandal will start trekking to tent. If you keep your suit at home, the suit will just start trekking to tent. So now you know tent is just the way forward. And then when you come to tent, that's where you want to release yourself of all your weariness. Sometimes we even go out and take a stroll. See, we are all guilty. God is helping us gradually. That's what I'm telling you. But we have to become decisive. 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 And hallow the one that come to tabernacle in our midst. We have become so sense rude. That's why you see that in our generation now, revelation is heightened. Everything is about revelation. Everybody is seeing something. They want. We are ruled by our senses. If you came to this tent and then you now saw that every service, there's an angel standing here, there's one standing here, there's one standing here, and then there's a portal in this middle here that angels are descending and ascending. Every day you come to tent, your eye will be there. In fact, that's where you'll be praying. And then you become conscious. Because you are a soulish man. He said, we walk by faith, not by sensory perception. Sometimes when you begin to grow in God, your visions reduce. You come to a meeting, and then you are checking. You are trying God to give you word of knowledge for the guy who is sick. And then there's no word of knowledge. He wants you to rebuke sickness by faith. That's what pleases the Father. He said, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But you only come to that realm by prayer. If not, everything you know will be in your head. What journeys it from your head to your spirit is the activity of prayer. And prayer is effective when your focus is the Holy Ghost. Every time you pray outside of the Holy Ghost, every time your inspiration, your motivation, your energy is coming outside of the Holy Ghost, you have not begun. When the Holy Ghost mantles you, even the atmosphere will change. Because heaven is beginning to provide witness for the activity that you are carrying on land. That's when you begin to participate with the divine. That's when you begin to provide that which heaven has to offer to earth. Every other thing you are offering is dead layers of corruption. And that's why spiritual things are delicate. Because you can be doing the most spiritual thing, but you'll be outside of God all your life. Alignment. The Holy Ghost will carry you through a journey. A journey where he becomes the central reference, central focus of all you do. I heard Pastor Chris said something and I almost challenged it. But I sat down. The reason I calmed down was because this man had proof. I don't have proof. So if what he's doing is not true, then he won't have what he has. And if I claim that what I'm doing is the correct one, I should have results for what I'm doing. He said, the reason prayer is very important. And I said, wait, let me tell you something. He said, the church have said it before, that a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. He said, but that's not scriptural. He said, the power is not in prayer. He said, what prayer does is that it carries you into the realm of power. He said, the power is in the spirit. And he said, that's why Jesus said, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come. The Holy Ghost is the custodian of power. He said, Jesus went in the power of the Spirit. But there's no way you can come to the layer of the Spirit where there is power until you journey by prayer. He said, so when you pray, you are focused on the Spirit. Because you can't do anything unless you have apprehended the Spirit. And the only way you can apprehend the Spirit is by prayer. He said, that is why Jesus made declarations after he has prayed. If you know these things, you will not be lacklustre about your prayer life. You can go for a meeting and you see the dead rise, and then you go for the next meeting. You are shouting, people are looking at you like this. And then some will be dozing. You can even preach the same message. The message you preached the other time, and demons were screaming, then you say, oh boy, thank God, oh, let me carry this message to this meeting. And then you gather, you package the message, and then you carry the same message, you are saying it word for word. And then people are looking at you like this. They want to help you, but see, they are overladen by tiredness. So, even the guy in front that wants to encourage you, he's overtaken by sleep. He tried to encourage you, but see, the body is much. So, then you discover it's not about the message. It's about the partnership with the Holy Ghost. So when you know this thing, you will lie down and pray and ask for mercy. You will. Especially for those who are traveling ministers. Or those who minister by inspiration. You can come with your mighty language. Then you enter as you climb the pulpit. Your soul doesn't ascend. You do like this. Nothing is coming. Then you discover that even the English you are speaking is not from your head. Because what happens is this. Even the sentences, they are rushing through your mind like a tap. Those who minister by inspiration, they know what I'm saying. the sentences, they run into your mind like a tap. That's why you can hear apostle make 10 compound sentences without pausing. It's not because he's so intelligent. His soul is open to a frequency. That thing is rushing like a tap. If you go for a meeting and your soul doesn't ascend, you will try. Then you will discover that, oh, we need to be helped. Prayer, prayer, prayer. If you know it, every time you come to the place of prayer, you will humble yourself for God to carry you, and you'll be very objective about it. Prophet Ezekiel was teaching us, he said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. He said the word effectual is there is well-targeted prayer, focused and objective prayer. It's not like boxing the wind. It's a lie. That guy is tired. All things is in the spirit. So we just go and then go and squat on something. It's a lie. Then the angel that is walking with you will just look at you in Jesus. Can you be so carnal? Instead of asking God to help you, your goal now is the people. What will the people say? Me like this? I came for VG, I'm sleeping. And then you see some people, they just... you will look at them and say, oh boy, this man is a dangerous man. The guy is far. He's sleeping far in the solid strength. We are fake. We are carnal. We don't have the fear of God. If you are tired, why deceive the people? Is it the people that is your focus? The people are not even your first audience. Elijah said, before God, whom I stand? So if he comes to the place of prayer, it's God that is his first objective. His first audience is God. So if he's tired, he will ask God, help me, help me, help me, help me. Peter was falling. He didn't care about those who were in the boat. If he was thinking, oh boy, I wanted to carry out a storm, what will Andrew say? He would have died. His goal was not the people in the boat. He said, Jesus, help me. And the Bible said Jesus came quickly. If Jesus had not rushed, he would have died. He came quickly. You came before God and you are conscious about the other people. Who is looking at you? Who told you they are looking at you? I sat one day, somebody messed up and I pitied the person. And then in less than 5 seconds, I forgot. And all through the meeting, the person was feeling so awkward. And I now said, is this how this thing happens? I don't even remember this person did this thing again. And see, this person is still conscious that he's no longer part of this meeting. Because in his proud head, he thought everybody was looking at him and nobody cares about him. Instead of him to do business with God, he thought, who told you people have your time? Because you did mistake in the pulpit here, they quarreled you. Then he now came, you sat down, you thought everybody was looking at you till the end of the meeting. You're a proud man. If you check the heart of people, they have forgotten. They don't care. They came with their own problem. And if you are wise, you will face Jesus with your own. We waste life. We waste time. We waste destiny. Why do you come every day if you know it's not working? And if you are sure it's working, why don't you try for it to work for you? Why don't you find out how does this thing work and pour yourself into it until it begins to work? Will you waste all your life? Waste all your time. And then at the end of the day, you are old and you discovered you have not apprehended. There are people that even relocate from one place to another, yet they don't touch reality. And the devil is aware. He knows that one of the gates of corruption is the gate of pride, and is willing to exploit it to the latter. You have escaped and shut the gate of the lust of the eyes. You have shut the gate of the lust of the flesh. So you told yourself, to hell with my certificate. You told yourself, even if it doesn't work, I will pour myself to Jesus. And then you traveled from your city in Abuja, traveled from Lagos, traveled from Port Harcourt, and you came to a creek in Benue. You hid behind the mountains. You were struggling with mosquitoes under the cave. And yet everything that is being done, you cannot access. Because you came and suddenly, the first week you came, they now say, this man is a prophet. then your 3 years of stay in Makurdi, you want to prove to everybody you are a prophet. And then you lose out the reason why you came. You came and then they say, this man studies the Bible. He's a reader of the book of God. And then all of a sudden, all your life, you want to prove to everybody that you are a man of the world. Every time they ask you to speak, you begin your introduction with these scriptures. And then the waters that you came to draw, you never touch it until you journey back. Them that are wise, they have a focus in the spirit. He said, with joy shall ye draw up waters out of the wells of salvation. Every time we journey in the spirit, we have a goal, we have a focus. But you need to first of all reorient yourself. You need to change your mind. You need to realize that everything you can ever amount to is built on one foundation. That foundation is called prayer. That's why Jesus prophesied after he prayed. That's why Jesus healed the sick after he prayed. That's why Jesus went to meet the people after he prayed. The reason you have poured yourself into prayer is because the world is waiting for you. What will you do after you have stayed here all this while and then you go without an answer for the world? Satan knew that the reason we engage spiritual realities is because creation is in bondage and only the sons of God can bring salvation. That is why when he collided with Jesus, his focus was, are you the Son of God? And Jesus was not distracted. He focused because he knew until the protocol of alignment is fulfilled, he can never go out with the power of the Spirit. The moment Jesus went out, the Bible said he went in the power of the Spirit. And he said his fame was spread abroad. His fame. He said that it might be fulfilled. Which was written by Isaiah the prophet. So if Jesus had not gone through that layer of training, does that mean that prophecy by Isaiah would not have been fulfilled? Yes. Because before he went there, he was a carpenter. But the man Isaiah spoke about, he said he is a light. Before a carpenter can be refined to become a light, he must have of necessity gone through the corridor of alignment. In alignment, your vistas are refocused. Then you see beyond your circumstance, you see beyond yourself. He said, turn these stones to bread. Was Jesus not hungry? Yes, he was. Did Jesus need food? Yes. When he came home, he rushed and ate. But he was able to see beyond the circumstances. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is in the gateway of alignment that you are recalibrated. They told you now to go to Buruku, it may be hard. Because you have a plan, you have a vision. You have purpose for life. You have dreams. Until you pass through alignment, you can't be recalibrated. You will only see from your circumstance. You will look upon the bread and begin to imagine how sweet it is. You will begin to imagine the impact of the hunger. But when you have been aligned, then you begin to see from the realm of God. And most times, God may not even come to do anything about it. But it doesn't matter anymore. Because what you are doing is that you are actually partnering with the divine. The reason God can be in a territory is because an aligned man has shown up. So you become more concerned about the plans of God, the purposes of God, the will of the Father. We have people running around with titles, apostles and prophets. But when there is money in the government house, it is the bishops that lead the way. What happens to the territory? What happens to the purpose of God for the land? There is no alignment. So their vista is still at the level of judging things based on their circumstance. They say, turn this stone to bread. They say, that is a wise counsel. You know, wisdom is profitable to direct. I actually need bread now. How come I didn't think about it? And the power is there. And they turn the stone to bread. And they become the servant of the devil. They don't know when they fell from princes to become servant. Because him whom you yield yourself servant to obey, he said, the servant of him whom you are. It can come as a counsel, it can come as a law, it can come as an instruction. But only wise men can begin to choose the choices of God. And the only time by which you will get there is when you have been refined through the pathway of alignment. The word of God that was given to you was to mend the cracked and the damaged creation. The Bible said through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. The word framed here is the word katakizo. It means to mend. To mend, to correct, to reconfigure. But the only men who has the power and the ability to reconfigure are the men that have been aligned. Because they will call them the sons of God. He said Jesus was the brightness of his glory. So the man that was mending creation was not an ordinary man. He was a man that has come to a point where everything that is of humanity have been purged. When you look at Jesus, what you see is the express image of the Father. The brightness of his glory. That's a man that has the ability to mend the world. The reason witchcraft will continue in your family is because you have not been aligned. The day the gateway of alignment is complete, you will rise up and you say, you, go and marry. By what technology will Jacob come and say, I bless you with corn. I bless you with wine. I bless you with the dew of heaven. There was no rain falling. Where was the wine? A man who knows how to connect to heaven. Jesus. He's a wonder. That's why the end of alignment is power. If of the truth you have completed alignment, your life will become an effulgence of power. You become a ruler among the sons of the Assyrians. It doesn't matter what they do. You can come to a territory and lock the gate of heaven. Even the elements of creation will obey you. We are making decrees. Nothing is happening because we are not aligned. The end of alignment is power. Apostle said we were born by power. We were created for power. He said we were bettered by a God of power. He said, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Even the kingdom, the purpose, and the will of God, we say we want to fulfill is by power. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He didn't give you any other thing to advocate, to legislate, and to advance his kingdom. He gave you power. You enter into the gate of power when your obedience is complete. Because he said, when your obedience is complete, then you can avenge other disobedience. There are people going out trying to avenge disobediences when they are rebellious, gimmicks, sycophants, hypocrites of the highest order, inspired by darkness, and they want to change the civilization that have raised them all their lives. How do you come to contend with the demon of immorality when you are his slave? How do you contend with the demon of manipulation when you yourself, you are an agent of manipulation? You think it's when you hold the mic. Nothing happens when you hold the mic. It is the God that you are yielded to in the spirit that we speak when you're on the microphone. And when these things become real, without mic, without sound, the kingdom of God will still manifest among men. The greatest feat that these men of God you see on the media today, they didn't do it on the media. They did it when they were rugged and cruel men. Chief, we always tell you here that we are praying now. They are holding the mic like this because we have gone to the nations. When prayer was going on here, people will run and collide with the wall. Somebody will hold the mic. Sometimes you will throw it away. You won't know because you are overtaken by the spirit of prayer. Now when people are praying, you composed prayers by the Holy Ghost because you have known the corridor, people will think that is all there is to it. You can't change the world that have raised you. The angel of the Lord came to Zacharias. He told him that his son will go in the spirit and in the powers of Elias. But for that to be fulfilled, in Luke chapter 1 verse 80, he said John was separated into the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. Everything of that civilization had to be purged from him. So he had no appetite for anything. When he came as a judge over that world. He said, Savior shall arise from Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau. It is only from Zion that saviors are born. What alignment does for you is that he carries you to the path of life until you appear in Zion. When you come out of Zion, you can judge the iniquities of your world. At that time, your obedience is complete. At that time, when you speak, is the government of heaven that you are giving expression to. The power is hidden in obedience. It is locked up in obedience, and only aligned men can touch of it. A man who has aligned with God is one with him. That's why the Bible said if such men backslide, he says it's difficult to reclaim them. They have touched of the powers of the age to come. When they show up, what they do is that they beg the kingdom. They come with the burdens of the kingdom. If such men tell you this is it, even if that was not God was saying, God will do it because they have secured oneness with him. I looked upon the scriptures and I marveled. How that Paul will be given instruction by the Holy Ghost, and the point will come. He will say, But concerning virgins, he said, God did not speak to me about this. He said, but I speak as a man. What? Can the words of a man be equated with scriptures? I thought the Bible said all scriptures were given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Where did he journey to in God that his own words can be measured equally with the words of God? He went to the wilderness of Arabia. He left everything and he stayed with the Holy Ghost until he taught him what it means to become an apostle. Where have you gone to in God? When you pray, where are you journeying to? When you fast, where are you going to? When you study the scriptures, where are you going to? Does it take you to the realm of God, or it takes you to the fullness of your pride? Does it take you to the realm of God, or it takes you to the fullness of your visions, your desires, and your ambition? Your orientation is distorted, so you have nothing to offer the world, because the world is already a progression of darkness. Demons, entities from the demonic realm are coming with different kinds of wisdom to bed different civilizations, different operations, different dimensions. The only thing we have to add to this world, it is what is found in the landscape of heaven. And only men who have journeyed there can bet it here. If you have not gone there, you can't bet it here. It is only people who have traveled to the spirit that can bring spiritual resources. Because the resources are not in the natural. They are in the spirit. I want us to pray today for at least 30 minutes. Because in recent times, my burden is not to see the power of God move. It's something I can do consciously. But people are slain, they amount to nothing. Nobody is making decision for Jesus. Nobody is making a commitment for Jesus. Even the people that are in the ministry that you think, thank God he has secured these ones. When you see pastors discuss, if you are not careful, you will fall down and your faith will crash. When you see pastors negotiate honorarium, pastors, the goal of the meeting, the goal of the travel, the goal of everything they were saying on the altar is to create enough giving so that honorarium will be big, and then they bargain over honorarium. If you see some of the discussions of pastors, then you will begin to cry. It's not about what we are doing. Where are we standing with God? People need to begin to make conscious decisions so that their life can profit the world to come. Apostle says salvation is a capital God put in your heart. He said, but what you do for God is the profit that you bring upon that capital. By the time you journey to eternity, how many blocks of the kingdom would you have put in your own dispensation? Because it is a house God is building. He's building it through time. By the time time is accomplished, that word will descend as the new Jerusalem. Which block would you have put there? All the faith you have exercised, is this to receive things from God? What have you contributed to the building of God? Something is rising in the spirit. Men are laying blocks, some by their blood, some by their witnesses. The Bible said, these women, he said, they called forth their sons back to life. He said, some in the face of deliverance, they rejected it. He said, that they may have a better resurrection. A resurrection that will give them profit before God. Because they realize that the value of life is not in time. The value of life is in eternity. So how much of eternity you superimpose in time is what will determine who you are in eternity. So they said, if only our death will be a witness to Jesus, we will die gladly. We didn't have the opportunity to preach the gospel. But now you have attacked us, you have besieged us, and you want us to choose death because of Jesus. This is the only opportunity we have to witness. We will die gladly. If you have read church history, you begin to wonder if it's the same Jesus you believe. You even pray that God should help, let them be enough space in the New Jerusalem. Because if you see what people did, you will wonder if you will have a slot there. I heard stories of women like Felicita, a pregnant woman. They kept her for 7 months, waiting for her to deliver, because the child is innocent. Perpetua and Felicita, her and her maid, they said, we would have killed you now, but since your baby is innocent, wait until you deliver. What was she waiting for? They were waiting for her to deliver so that she would be killed because she rejected Jesus. And she was aware of the kind of death that she would be afflicted with. After she gave birth, 2 days later, a woman that gave birth with all the injuries, they brought her to the arena, stripped her naked, and they released wild beasts upon them. And the lions tore them apart. And they were praying while they died. What kind of conviction did they have? I heard story of John, the beloved disciple. His name was called Polycarp. At the age of 86, an old man. They went and carried him. And he said the people that came to arrest him, he gave them food to eat. He was at rest, dying for Jesus. And when they dragged him to the arena, they said, deny Jesus. Old man, we'll leave you. We don't want to kill you. You've been a good man. He said, 86 years have I served him. And he has never offended me. He said, how can I do this evil? And he was set on fire. He was set ablaze. He was burned. And why they burned him? The Bible said he looked to heaven. They struck his feet. He looked to heaven. As the flame rose to heaven, he didn't struggle with death. Is it the Jesus who believed that they believed? You are still struggling over ambition. Your life has not been demanded of you. God is just saying, go to a rural place and it's difficult for you. Do you think you have really believed? It is only men who align that are relevant in the hands of God. Apostle said, alignment is the strength of giants. When you see a man who is a giant in the kingdom, he has understood the technology of alignment. These stories are many. Ahead of the Moravian brothers. These men, the only way they could preach the gospel in the city where they were going, because their country, they are not allowed in that city. So what they did was that they sold themselves as slaves. Because that was the only way they could enter the city. So they sold themselves, collected the money, gave it out, and they carried them to the city as slaves. If by any means they enter that city, let them be witnesses. God told them to carry the witness of Jesus to a city. There was no way they could enter. They sold themselves as slaves. If such a man wants to preach John 3:16, he will preach it with life. Because he knows what it truly means for God to die for sinners. You may quote it. I tell you the truth, you don't know it. If you know it, the moment you receive it, everything about your life will be to give the same to another person. And your ambition will not be too big to stand against it. What we do is not an activity. It's not a religion. It's life being dispensed through human vessels. It's God being on the manifestation. It's God being presented like a theater through human vessels. Every time they touch you, everything that will come out of you is God. Because your life have been submitted on the altar as a sacrifice. You may think it's about the pulpit. When you come to the pulpit, then you discover the microphone is not enough. Everything about your life is supposed to sing the witness of Jesus. When you go to the market, your utterances, the people you greet, the people you talk to, the people you live with, your life is supposed to be an amplifier of the life of Jesus. It has nothing to do with pulpit. How many times do you pray? I traveled to Oka 2 weeks ago. I preached in 7 meetings in 3 days and I almost died. Then I discovered the pulpit is not enough. Because you meet more people in your everyday life than you will ever meet carrying the microphone. Your life is supposed to be a witness. And that can only happen when you submit yourself as a sacrifice. Because everything about this realm is destined to corrupt, to die, to waste. The only thing that we pass through this realm is what is sacrificed to Jesus. And it is the quality of sacrifice that will determine the value you have in the world to come. Can you ask Jesus to help you? I don't motivate people while preaching anymore. If the word of God is not enough to convict you, nothing will convict you. Because the Holy Spirit only bears witness to the word. Some of us have come to a point where our heart is so hardened. Jesus called it an evil heart. He called it an evil heart. Why do you pray every day? So that you can journey deep into the realm of life. It is until you come to that place, you cannot dispense of the verities of God. You can't. Even if you will it, Even if you try, even if you charge, you can't. Because it only happens by the Spirit. It happens by the Spirit. You ask Jesus to help you. Because until you are confronted with your worst fear, you will never can tell whether you are truly convicted or not. The day you collide with your worst fear, that's the day you will tell whether conviction has been born in your heart. The message I came with, I couldn't even preach it. God is speaking to somebody. I came with a message on my iPad, but I couldn't look upon it. And sometimes you come for a meeting, striving for your soul to ascend, and then you come in an ascended state, and the Holy Ghost steps you down. He said, no, talk to them. Let them hear what they need to hear for the season.
Like a mighty wind, Spirit of victory, cover us with your wings. Blow like a mighty wind, Spirit of victory. You don't need to. No. Just keep it calm. Don't scare anybody. Let's learn to travel. Moses said, be still. You will see the salvation of God. Let them learn to travel. See, when we stand and we are praying loud, some of us can pray for long. But if they say, bend down, face Jesus, and talk to him for 10 minutes, 10 minutes may become 10 days. There's no distraction. There's nowhere to look at. Focus on Jesus.